This is the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. Today, our special guest is Ryan LeGrand. Ryan is CEO for the U.S. Grains Council headquartered in Washington, D.C., but we speak from Commodity Classic in New Orleans. Ryan LeGrand coming up in just a few moments. First off, Robert Bonney is Undersecretary for Farm Production and Conservation at USDA and is addressing the challenge to filling open positions.
It has been a challenge. There's an authority called Direct Hiring Authority that we've had in the past. We're working on again. That allows us to move more quickly, and it's critically important, particularly in this labor market where folks are going to have a lot of offers, and if we dawdle, we're going to lose them. And so we're working with the broader federal government to see if we can speed that process up.
It's the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James, and we're joined today by Ryan LeGrand. Ryan is CEO of the U.S. Grains Council, Washington, D.C. Hey, Ryan, it's great to see
you. Yeah, it's great to see you, too. Great to be back here at Commodity Classic.
Well, it's been a couple of years. Are we at the four-year mark for you or three-year mark? How close are we to hitting that?
Yeah, getting close to 3 years. June will mark 3 years since the date that that I came up to Washington and took over the role of CEO.
You know, before that, we had the opportunity to visit while you were south of the border. You spent time there as well with the council.
I did. I spent a total of 10 years living in Mexico, and four of those were with the Grains Council, and was running the Mexico office, the director of the Mexico office down there before moving up to Washington.
We're going to swing back and talk Mexico here in just a moment, but wow, even though this is really the first time as an industry we've seen people being able to get together, it hasn't stopped the Grains Council from its work. Was it a good year?
It was a great year. It really was. And one of our key messages from the start of the pandemic, going back 2 years, was that the United States has the most reliable grain export system in the world. And you saw countries really flock to that and know that, you know, in times of uncertainty, they can count on us for reliable and quality shipments. But when you talk about the last year, it really has been a great year. We've got a record. We just came off of a record year for corn exports. It was close to 70 million tons that we exported. Distillers grains came up as well to about the 12 million ton mark, and sorghum took off again. You know, we really had issues with exporting sorghum there during the trade war with China. China's back in the market for U.S. sorghum, and it's been great for our industry.
There are challenges around the world right now. I mean, we see that in the headlines every day. How's that affecting the Grains Council?
Well, you know, the biggest challenge out there that everybody knows about is the situation in Ukraine with the Russian invasion. And, you know, we're just very sympathetic and empathetic to the Ukrainian people and want to see this invasion stop immediately. But it's really causing problems for their grain supply and their upcoming grain planting. Most of their wheat is winter wheat, so that's in the ground. But they're going to have to make some decisions very soon on corn planting, and they supply 14% of the world's corn. And it's going to be a very, very difficult job to get into the fields, get the inputs they need, and get into the fields and get those acres planted.
And you've got competition as well. Whether you've got anything else going on in the world like this, you've got challenges to get that to the end user, if you will. So talking transportation, supply chain disruptions, what are you seeing there?
Well, there's been plenty of supply chain disruptions recently and during the pandemic, especially with the containers, the availability of containers to ship goods out of the country, and the price of that container to ship it over to Asia with our grain and feed goods. It's been just a major, major challenge. And now you've got oil, you know, touching 120 a barrel. I think we're a little bit off those highs right now, but it's just screaming high, and that's obviously causing the freight of whatever you haul, however you haul it, in a truck or a barge or a rail or a vessel, it's going to be more expensive. And it's really going to put a pinch on things when you look at you're an end user looking to buy something, and it's just going up and up and up every day. It's a difficult situation.
We look at Mexico, and really, when it comes to getting product into Mexico, maybe we don't have the supply chain disruptions like we have through other areas. Has Mexico been a good market for you?
They've been a great market. They've been our number one corn market for years. China took their place last year when they imported more than any other single country had imported at about 21 million tons. But Mexico's always there. They've always been there, and they've been a steady importer. But we do have a couple of issues out there with this biotech decree where they're looking to ban the importation of biotech corn for human consumption. And then they're looking to ban glyphosate as well. And both of these have a date on them of January of 2024. So there's a clock that's ticking. And, we need to work as hard as we can to help Mexico to see that this is not in their best interest. They have one of the leading livestock production sectors in the world. And if they all of a sudden ban the import of corn for feeding of those animals, they're going to be in a real tough spot. And I just don't think that everything's being considered right now as to what the ramifications would be of banning biotech and glyphosate. If they ban glyphosate, they're going to cut their own yields by 20 to 30%. And then they're going to become more dependent on the import of grains than they are now. So it's just a tough situation we need to work through.
I'm so glad you mentioned the livestock industry in Mexico, because they're dealing with a horrible drought. We think we've seen drought here, devastating drought. Is it that Guadalajara region? I can't remember what state it is, but we've got pretty large feedlots there as well.
They're big, yeah. That's Jalisco is that state where Guadalajara is, and that's a major animal production center of Mexico. A lot of poultry, a lot of pork production in that area. There's some beef and dairy, but that's kind of centered in other areas. But yeah, they're suffering right now.
There have been challenges in the past in Mexico. I remember a conversation we had while you were in Mexico City, dealing with some of the challenges of fuel supplies and trying to bring ethanol in. And since that time, we've had a change in leadership in Mexico. What's happening on that front?
Yeah, so they have a new president there that has really not allowed the ethanol agenda to progress. He has an agenda where he is trying to save the state-owned oil company Pemex. He's trying to bring them back to life, so to speak, and really bolster that state-owned oil company. And ethanol just doesn't seem to be part of that equation for him right now. Under the previous administration, we were able to work and get E10 approved. But that was quickly overturned in the courts, and it's since then it's been sitting on the government's desk, waiting on a kind of a renewal of the regulation, a way to work it to where it wouldn't face so many legal challenges, and they just haven't done that.
Brian, is this really a good example in some of the areas we've been talking about, why you just simply can't find a buyer somewhere around the country or in Mexico to buy the crop? There's so many logistics to making that happen. Is that really part of the reason why the Grains Council is as effective as it is?
Yes, that's right. You know, we work to knock down barriers. And while this is a tough one in Mexico, we've had a lot of successes in other areas of bringing down tariffs, of working to bring down non-tariff barriers. And that is the space where we operate. Policy overseas, working to help governments, foreign governments, see the benefits of importing U.S. grain and U.S. fuel in the form of ethanol.
So good to see you. Again, I know plenty of challenges there, but I also know you see challenges as opportunities. We wish you the best.
Thank you very much. Good to see you.
Ryan LeGrand is CEO of the U.S. Grains Council from Commodity Classic in New Orleans. I'm Tony St. James. It's the Agribusiness Report.
It's the new leader of the herd. The Fendt 1000 Vario is the world's largest draft tractor. With up to 500 horsepower, it pulls with tremendous strength and next-level traction. Fendt's breakthrough technology makes it incredibly effortless to operate around the farm, and its superior cab will have you feeling right at home. Experience all the innovations of the Fendt 1000 Vario today. Learn more at livingstonmachinery.com and to find a location near you. Livingston Machinery, 24/7 service for your 24/7 operation.
United Ag is one of the largest association health plans to offer health care benefits for the agricultural industry. Their mission is to bring innovative health care solutions to agriculture by meeting their members' employee benefit needs. Join today and take advantage of the premier benefits offered by United Ag. United Ag is committed to contributing to a strong and healthy ag industry. For more information or to join, visit www.unitedag.org.
It's the Agribusiness Report. Dr. Dan O'Brien's a Kansas State grain marketing economist, says the wheat market has been reacting to the Ukrainian situation.
At least three world markets in agriculture on the grain side, grain and oil seeds, are affected. First, the wheat market, because of the predominance of Ukraine in that. The corn market as well, Ukraine's the fourth largest exporter there, as well as one of the major ones in wheat. But for wheat, I think when you look at the futures first and see what they've been saying and versus what the USDA has been talking about or been projecting for the current marketing year, then to get some idea where we'd go next year, the current futures, by my estimates, are projecting about a hard red winter wheat price, season average price, of about $7.78. Now, the USDA just raised their projection from 730 up to 750. So that's interesting to see. The real challenge, of course, to me is to look at where futures are at as they extend in deferred contracts and to look at that price and realizing that we have a number of bid supply chain oriented issues going on that are affecting what elevators in Kansas are doing. But assuming that we go forward with that and assuming a pretty conservative basis for the U.S. overall, you're still looking at $9.60, $9.70, up to $10 for a projection, a futures-based projection for wheat for the coming year. So I think you can rightfully say that the Russia-Ukraine conflict has had a lot to do with raising concerns about shortfalls in wheat supplies around the world that could happen, not just in this marketing year, but especially into that next one. And because of that, the prices for wheat, prices for corn, and other tag-along commodities are all involved. I would say when you look at the U.S. wheat supply-demand balance sheet and see where the main impacts longer term could be, it's probably on the export side first and foremost for U.S. wheat. Likelihood of at least tighter world supplies that would drive potential buyers to come to the U.S. for our wheat supplies, even at a higher price, is certainly there. That we may not see that really more until the next marketing year. And you'll have this tension between the price rationing effect of higher wheat prices and the desire for food purchases on the part of these countries. So it'll be interesting to watch. If exports go up in the U.S., as I'm anticipating anyway, then you would see a tightening of ending stocks and just that much more price support. But it does seem like our price support in the wheat market right now is coming from more from the international market side of things rather than our own exports going out the gate. So to be consistent with that it's the expectation of what could come. And that next marketing year starting June 1, that'll be an issue. I do wonder also, Eric, with high wheat prices and challenges getting inputs for some other of our grains, what we'll see for wheat seedings come September, October. Again, that's a whole other side of the wheat harvest away in Kansas. But I'm assuming wheat prices will still stay around, that the strength in them will stay around because exports will endure for that long and very likely to impact Kansas hard red winter wheat. And ahead of that, I think the market is hoping it impacts spring wheat plantings in the U.S. and Canada.
It's the Agribusiness Report.
At Golden Harvest, our best skill is knowing how to listen. From our Gold Series soybean and game-changing corn portfolios to our expert insights housed in the Illuminate digital agronomy platform. Everything we offer is an answer to what we've heard from you. This is how we listen.
Copyright 2021 Syngenta. The trademarks or service marks used herein are the property of a Syngenta Group company. All other trademarks are the property of their respective owners.
The best thing you can put on your crop is your shadow. Your need to be in the field won't change, and the Cotton Research and Promotion Program was put into place to make sure you get the most from every minute you're out there. That's why the Cotton Board and Cotton Incorporated work alongside growers to spur innovation, fund research, and foster sustainability so generations of farming families can walk the same turn rows for years to come. Forever Cotton. Visit cottonboard.org/forevercotton. Welcome back. It's the Agribusiness Report. Again, our special guest today, Ryan LeGrand, CEO, U.S. Grains Council.
The formula for success is a simple one. Put strong in, get strong out. That's why cotton growers looking to improve yield potential plant Delta Pine brand cotton, featuring 100 years of proven yield potential and exclusive genetics in every bag. Strong is a legacy all its own. Protect yours with Strong Cotton from Delta Pine. Always read and follow IRM where applicable, grain marketing and all other stewardship practices and pesticide label directions.
Why sorghum?
I think sorghum is a smart choice for growers because it just fits well with our limited moisture. There's a lot of improvement the last few years. It's just been a really good crop for us. It just works.
Sorghum has the ability over many crops to sit and wait on moisture, so it's a smart choice there.
Sorghum is a smart choice because it is flexible and tough. It's a good crop.
Rain or shine, sorghum is the smart choice.
Welcome back. It's the Agribusiness Report. Commodity Classic held recently in New Orleans. And at the event, John Doggett, CEO of the National Corn Growers, talked about precision ag.
I think we got to remember that as all of society has embraced more and more new technologies, we need to make sure that they're understanding we're doing that as well. And precision ag is just such a neat thing. And when you talk to folks that are not involved in agriculture about how you can regulate seeds, you can regulate chemicals, you can regulate fertilizer. I mean, it is just absolutely amazing the things that we can do. And when you talk to non-ag audiences about that, it's kind of a gee whiz moment. And I think it's really important for us to continue to talk about the gee whiz moment because there's a lot of folks in our society that really like this technology and they want to know about somebody else's technology. I think it gives us an opportunity.